you cannot rely on your thoughts and feelings because they're so subjective and they're not a representation of what is really going on or what you are truly capable of.
Okay, so welcome, David. I'm so excited to have you here. How are you doing?
Great. Thanks for having me on, Joanna.
Great. So tell us, it's always so exciting to, I love speaking with people that are in the high performance area, mindset. I know that you use your intuition and you've had quite the transformation after having a successful Olympic career. Can you tell us a little bit about how you got into swimming, how it took you on this high performance path as an athlete, and then into the business world?
Yeah, sure. So you know how they say the apple doesn't fall far from the tree?
Right.
My dad was a swimmer.
Okay.
But my parents, they were really cool. I have also a younger brother and a younger sister, and we're like 2 years apart. And our parents always took us to different sports, you know, so we could try different sports like karate, tennis, and volleyball. But I was the guy, I would throw the racket around and tennis. And I guess swimming was just the one, was like the sport that suited me best. And I loved it, you know, I had fun. And I told you already, so I'm 34 now, right? And I swam until I was 26. And the way I describe it is that I was painfully unaware of what was going on, really. I was just on autopilot. One thing led to the other. And I got to tell you, so I wasn't in the driver's seat and I didn't really have like huge dreams or something like that. It was more like the environment was very favorable. I was blessed because my parents, they could give us a good life in Switzerland and they could drive us around. We could go on training trips and all that. But, you know, painfully unaware, I think that describes it best. So it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to make this happen. And look, David, he went and did it, right? That only started to happen in the last 4 years.
Which is fascinating because a lot of people that are looking into, you know, high performance sports, you have that perception that it's very, you know, controlled and very like, you know, super high vigilant goals and things. So how was that process for you? Was it just, did you set small goals? Were you just super talented that you just pushed yourself? Was, you know, what were the things that brought you to, you know, the peak of your sports career?
Yeah. So there is one thing, and I think that's very, very profound. And that's what I've learned in the last years, right? That my motivation was always, I have the limiting belief. We all have some, right? About worth, about not belonging or having to be perfect. And mine was, and is still, because it doesn't change, is I'm not good enough. Mm. And you develop that, you know, these limiting beliefs, you form them or you create them basically in the first 5 years of your life, basically. And that particular one is father derived. And I mean, my father, you know, is a great father, but there's no perfect parenting. And it happens when you get the energy of your father, when you do stuff well, like learning to ride a bike, learning to walk, right? It's like, oh, David, good job, right? Hmm. So I developed that. And you know, throughout my career, it was always driven. I mean, I liked what I was doing, but I can tell it was driven by not being good enough. And then, you know, trying to compensate for that. So even for example, you know, I worked hard because I didn't feel good enough. So I could do a week of training Monday to Saturday and be completely broken down and deserve Sunday rest. Mm-hmm. But I would just go back to the pool on Sunday and swim because, you know, something in me said, hey, you're not good enough. You got to go. And then actually it worked against me. Mm. Because I broke my body down even more instead of just giving it rest and then coming back on Monday and, you know, being back to 100% on Monday and getting in another good week of training, right? And I think that was a big realization then later on was like, okay, so now I see the pattern. And now that I see it, now that I'm aware of it, I can make a different choice and I can start to create what I really love and not like running away from that, but coming from wholeness and a sense of completeness as opposed to not feeling good enough and having to chase that and make up for it. Does that make sense?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, that's interesting. Really interesting. So you find yourself at the Olympics, you're at the peak of your professional or at your, you know, swimming career, and then you transition into the business world. So you went to business school and you worked in the Swiss banking, the financial area. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. So tell us about that. How was that transition? Because you're, you know, different, right? It's so different.
That's when I, that's when all of a sudden I started, and, you know, in swimming or in any sport really is like the because you're measuring your performance all the time in training, in competition, you always know where you are. And if something works, you do more of it. If it doesn't work, you change it, right? Simple. But then as I was working in banking, all of a sudden there was variables like my colleagues, my boss, the bank as a whole, the economy as a whole, what the central bank, even what they were doing in America, you know, like it really. And so there's a big time lag between what I was doing and getting any kind of success, recognition, validation, and so on, right? And that bothered me and I felt powerless.
Interesting.
Yeah, and I slipped into a kind of a victim role, right? And I started to blame it on everything outside of me, but not me. And then what happened is I switched the bank because I came to the conclusion, well, it's the people in the bank and so on. So I switched the bank. It was good for a couple months because I was learning a lot. But then, you know, the same thing happened. And that's when it started to dawn on me like a little bit. I had like a feeling that maybe, just maybe, it's me and not everybody around me, right? So, right. And I think when I had that realization, well, it wasn't a realization, that when I had that intuitive feeling or something, that's when I started to be open. And that's when I met somebody who introduced me to the power of the mindset. And that's when things changed.
Yeah, that's so interesting. So you actually felt your intuition kind of creeping up on you, which is where it's such a big awareness, right?
Yeah. But I also knew, look, I did the classic. I you know, I try to compensate by going out, drinking, even doing some party drugs and staying out late and just distracting, right? And if you're honest with yourself and you look at your life and you're like, okay, is that normal that you go out 3 nights until 4 or 5 in the morning? Is that like, why do you do that, right? Why?
Yeah.
And then I guess you kind of come to conclusions. And then if you're having a good day, you could say, okay, it's because I'm not happy, right?
Right, right.
Yeah.
So then what tell us about this person? What started you on this path of thinking mindset? What was your biggest aha? What was the first thing that kind of, you know, projected everything?
So it was a he, you know, like guy like 60, 65, and he invited me to a cup of tea.
Nice.
Yeah, but I thought that was weird.
Totally.
Yeah, because usually, you know, it would be coffee or a beer or lunch or dinner or whatever. But he was an Englishman. So I was intrigued. And thankfully, I went for it. And we ordered the tea and we were sitting in a really nice hotel in downtown Zurich, just by the lake. And he asked me to notice that everything around me, because it was really, everything was really nice. Everything that's not green and that isn't grown by nature, we created with our mind. And I sat there in silence and I thought, you know, to myself, I was like, well, this is hard to argue. This is hard to talk back to him. And I loved doing that at the time because I thought I know a lot and I, you know, all these things. I kind of, not cocky, but a bit like overly confident and in a wrong way though. And then he added that we had the ability to create the life that we love. And when he said that was profound, and that hit straight, it hit a nerve somewhere. Like, I think it hit my heart or something, but that was like, wow, I never thought about that. What a cool concept. Like, what if he's right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's where I was so curious and I thought I was so fascinating that I had to know more.
So what did you do? What was your next steps?
Yeah, so he offered me coaching then, right? I mean, you know, I thankfully put money aside. You know, my friends, I mean, we were making good amount of money, but they were buying cars and Porsches. Not, you know, my mom said, but, you know, save it, because I'm not like that materialistic, right? I like to have a good lifestyle, but I don't need to drive like sports cars and all that. So I just like had money on the side. which was good because then I got coaching, which wasn't like that cheap. But, and I started reading books and podcasts. That's why, by the way, I appreciate so much what you do. Because podcast is a beautiful thing. You hear so many stories of people and it's just very inspiring. So, and then I, you know how it is, right? You start digging and you're like, oh my God, what did I miss here? Yeah. When did you like find out about, you know, the power of the mind and how powerful we are?
Yeah, it's interesting because I was also, I was a gymnast in my early years, but I was super obsessed with the sport, right? And I was trying my best to create this Olympic story, which never came to fruition. And I really beat myself up, right? Like I got really depressed after finishing the sport. I just didn't know what to do with myself because I spent so much time and energy, so super focused. And, you know, I had enough talent to get me as far as I could get. And I had won a few, you know, titles, but just never that, you know, big Olympic crazy dream, especially back in the 80s. You know, it was a very decorated sport in the US and I'm in Canada. So it was just, you know, it was just such a big thing. And I went to university and I kind of was like free and I just didn't know what to do. So I got into the partying as well, right? I'm studying, I'm partying. Yeah, exactly. Like, yeah, I'm free. And then I still kept coaching gymnastics because I still had that love for it. And it was great because it did end up taking me as a coach around the world. I lived in Australia, but I was always digging, you know, like a little bit of yoga or a little bit of spirituality or learning about something. Like I always knew that there was something deeper that was driving me, but I just couldn't kind of piece it all together. So I feel like it was been a long kind of, you know, half searching process. Until really I got a little bit older in my 30s and I had my children. And then I got really focused because I thought, you know, if I can create these little things along the way, and I would just almost manifest things, especially when I let go, right? So it was like when you let go of that control, and just this is one example, you know, I really wanted to go to this conference in New York City. It was really expensive. I had small kids at the time. I was working, like I didn't have a lot of support around the house. So I was kind of like, how could I make this happen? You know, it was just sort of so out of focus. And it was literally just, I was kind of picturing myself there. And I was like, well, if I'm going to go, I'm going to sit really, you know, up close, going to have the best seats. I'm going to meet the speakers. I'm going to be in the city. Everything's going to just be awesome. And I knew deep down inside, like I couldn't really figure out logistically how this was all going to happen. In the end, I made a phone call when I was picking up my son. He was in an art class and I just thought, you know, I'm going to just call them and see what the tickets, you know, maybe they have some tickets. And from basically a conversation I had with someone, it was just so incredible. He said, I'll give you the, he said, where, what kind of tickets would you like? And I said, well, if I come, I want VIP tickets. I want the best tickets. And I would be flying from Toronto. So it was, you know, investment of time. And he's like, well, we're doing a 2-for-1. And I said, well, to be honest, like this event is on Saturday. This is like Wednesday or something. I said, I probably will come myself. Not even thinking that I'm going to figure this, like kind of half thinking, how am I going to figure this out? In the end, he gave me the ticket for half price. I told him I'd call him back so I can, you know, figure out my flight. I found a flight out of nowhere that was literally totally affordable. And not only that, but they said, if you really want to come, we'll put you up in a hotel. In New York City. I don't even know these people. I don't know how this even happened. I was like, well, what hotel? You know, I want to make sure it's decent. And the weekend just went. And I went to a luncheon and I met one of the speakers that I wanted to meet. Everything just flowed. I was like, just from a thought, I've actually manifested this whole thing. So how powerful are these thoughts that we have?
Now you gotta tell us what seminar that was. That's like
the top secret. So it was in 2017 and it was called Global Synergy Network. And Richard Branson was speaking and Simon Sinek and Gary Vaynerchuk. And those two were my favorite speakers at the time because Simon has this real intellectual kind of, you know, he was promoting the why, you know, what's your why? And then Gary's very, you know, get stuff done, no excuses. So they were kind of, you know.
Yeah.
And it was actually funny because there was this VIP event, but they had overbooked the tickets. So when I got to the lunch, they said, sorry, like we have to kind of do this lunch tomorrow. And it was a 2-day event. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I wasn't upset or anything. Some people were kind of upset. And then because they had rescheduled it, Simon Sinek was in the lunch. So I got to meet him because of that switch. And then Gary was taking some photos and I just managed to be there at the right time and got a photo with him and met him. So like everything just happened, right? Like, I mean, it happened, but we're obviously making these things happen, right? It's just like when you are hyper-focused on something, you see it over and over again, right? Like there's a typical example, like if you want to buy a certain car, all of a sudden you see that car everywhere. You're like, how does this car always in front of me now, right? So we're obviously doing that in the opposite way. Like, are we self-sabotaging ourselves when we don't even realize? Are we, you know, taking ourselves out before we even start because of excuses? And why do we do that? Why is it easier to do it the other way, right? Like, it's so fascinating.
It's what I use the curriculum, and we say one of the premises is that you're, and a premise is just a working assumption. It's not an immutable law or something that is set in stone. It's just something that gets you results, and they're tested, right? And one of them is that your focus creates your reality, is what you just said with the cars, for example, right? A simple example. But here's an addition to that premise that's very, very, very important. Is like what you think you're focused on is most of the time not what you're really focused on, right? Mm. So it looks in my swim, just the example before, you know, to illustrate, it looks like I'm focused on swimming. But it's not. I'm focused on trying to be good enough, trying to complete myself. So, and you know, one of the things with the law of attraction, like, yeah, is it real? Hell yeah, it's real. But here's the thing, like, you know, these people that these new age spiritual, oh, life is a rainbow, everywhere is unicorns, life is abundant, money is flowing to me, and they have the fridge magnets and sniffing the dollar bills, but they're poor as fuck. Oh, sorry.
I swear, sorry. That's okay.
They're like, they don't have any money, right? And it's because they're like half wise. In alchemy, we're calling them the half wise because they're delusional. They're just focusing on a vision, but the subconscious that creates is looking just as much as looking as it's looking at the vision. It's also looking at, where are you today? Where are you coming from? Are you coming from a lack? Mm-hmm. Or are you coming from, you know, being whole? And that's what it is. If you're coming from a lack, you're just going to create more of that. And that's why you have these patterns.
Yeah.
And they come in different forms and different colors and in different locations, different times, different people. But they're always, if you look at it closely and you're being like Sherlock Holmes and you unpack what's really happening, they're always the same dysfunctional patterns, because you take the same steps and you self-sabotage every single time. And that's why self-awareness is so important, because when you can see that, you can then say, all right, well, now I see it. Thanks for the warning. Mm-hmm. Thanks. I know this is unknown to me. Thank you. Thank you. I see it, but I'm still going to do it.
Yeah.
For example.
So how does someone start becoming whole? What would you say to them? What's the first sort of step?
Yeah, so they are whole. They are born whole. They have everything.
Yeah, exactly.
That's the thing. And what I, you know, look, this is actually pretty cool, because the analogy is, we had the worst summer in Switzerland here since 1908.
Wow.
In terms of how much it rained and also how cold it was. Like on August 1st, which is our national day, at my sister's apartment, the heater kicked in. I mean, it's unbelievable. Wow. Hey. Yeah, really shitty. But, you know, the analogy here is, even though I didn't see the sun for a long time, is it safe for me to assume that the sun is still behind the clouds? Mm. And everybody will say, yeah, of course, it's there. Like, I can't see it. Am I sure? No, but 99.99999% it's there, right? And the analogy is, you can just assume that you are whole. Do you know 100%? No. Mm. But you know, we see the God in everybody. We see all the talents that other people have. And like, oh, yeah, you're whole. Oh, yeah, you're like a walking goddess and all that. And so it's not like, I'm not like crazy for assuming that I'm whole. But still, most people struggle with it. They don't do that. So the step number one is, you assume that you're whole and you just roll with it. You don't need to trust. You don't need to believe. It's just, you assume you're whole and you go with it.
Less thinking, right? Almost, because thinking can almost take you out when you overthink.
You'll always, I mean, if you want to find doubt, you'll find out.
Mm-hmm.
There's a good, I mean, Bob Proctor is your fellow countryman, right? And he has a good quote, very good quote. And he's saying that faith and fear both demand that we believe in something we cannot see.
Mm.
The choice is yours.
That's a really good one.
Right?
So true.
Yeah. And if you choose to fear, you make that up and you move towards anxiety and, you know, negative emotions, and they are being suppressed in you, and you can get sick and like all kinds of negative consequences. And if you have faith, you know, your energy, your vibration changes, that is expressed, and you start to give and connect, and you have all these, you create the positive momentum. And, I have athletes, they ask me, oh, should I visualize for 5 minutes or 10, or what if I can't see colors, or, you know, it's like, well, just start with it. And you are very good at visualizing negative consequences. So just try to visualize positive now, because we can all visualize what could go wrong, and we're really good at it, right?
Yeah, exactly.
So the people that tell me, oh, I can't visualize, I can't, you know, yeah, you can. You just got to learn it a bit and nurture it a bit. And just like any other muscle, it will come.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, it's not difficult. It's available to everybody, right?
Exactly. Exactly. So how do you find that, not the perfect, but how do you find that nice combination of the, you know, the belief and faith, right? That you're doing the right thing. Because we tend to, you know, always say like, is this the right time? Should I do this or should I do that? You know, again, all those limiting beliefs that we have start to bubble up. And then how do you match that with taking action, right? Because you have to match that in order, I believe, to get some result. What would you suggest?
Yeah, so here we work a lot with intuition, right? Because look, here's the thing, like the way we teach, I was taught, and this is really, that's changed my life. That's why I'm such a huge fan, right? I'm so passionate about it, but it's actually very simple. It's like, if you look at a human being, we have two modes of awareness. One is perception that speaks to us in thoughts and feelings. And it's a very heavy, it's like in your face. If you're crying, all right, you're sad, you're crying, you can't miss that, right? But the other mode of awareness is your intuition. It's your higher self. It's your genius. It's the thing, or whatever you want to call it, that's connected to everything through all time and space, okay? Mm. And so we human beings, we are born, like a fish is born into water, right? A fish doesn't know it's swimming in water until you yank it out.
Right.
And I can't breathe. I'm like, fuck, I got to go back in the water, right?
Yeah.
We human beings, we are born into a sea of perception that speaks to us in thoughts and feelings, and we take them for granted, and we think that they actually represent the truth of what is really going on. And that is not true, because you and I can have the same experience, and we can have completely different thoughts and feelings about that. And it's solely, it depends on what you went through in your past and what I went through in my past. And here's the thing, it's the past. So if you want your future to be different than your past, you got to come to terms that your thoughts, you cannot rely on your thoughts and feelings, because they're so subjective and they're not a representation of what is really going on or what you are truly capable of, right?
Totally.
So if you can understand that, and if you can say, so what I'm thinking is, I see that, then you kind of neutralize that by, again, shining a light on this and saying, okay, I see. And then you're like a dolphin. We live in the water because as a human being, we want to have the emotions and the thoughts, because it's a beautiful thing. We want to have the passion and maybe even sadness, whatever. We want to have it.
Yeah.
But strategically, we want to, just a dolphin, like a dolphin who needs to get air, we want to rise above, connect to the intuition, get a good view of what do I really want? What is best for me? Not what my thoughts and feelings are saying.
Yeah.
Right. And then we make a decision, and then we can go back in the water and enjoy human life. And when we need to make a next decision, again, we're going up for air. We get a good view, and that's how we roll.
I love that. I love that, because you're taking that the emotion, like we always react with emotions. I think that's one of humanity's almost, I don't know if it's a problem, but you know, biggest struggle, right? And exactly what you said, you can have the exact same experience, but based on your past and your experiences, you're experiencing the same thing totally differently. So those emotions are only attached to what you believe, right? So are those emotions really real? And I love that idea, bringing your head up above water, taking a moment and making the decision. That's the second thing I think that most people have a hard time making, right? Is the decision. So yeah, it's like faith, decision, check the feelings, come up for water, make the right decision for yourself, use the intuition. There's so many steps, but you, when you know, right? And you're in the flow. So that's really, that's key.
Yeah. And then, you know, okay. So then, right, you like look back and you're like, okay, I made such a good decision 2 months ago. Wow. And then you're just going to become like self-motivated and you're going to do it again and again and again. Yeah. Right. And here's the thing, like, you know, in the spiritual world, we call it, a lot of people have good insights, but they never follow through.
Mm-hmm.
Right? They have like good insights and they have all the intuition, the downloads, they have whole books that they download, they have whole like ideas, but they never manifest it because they don't take action. They don't follow through. We call it spiritual wanking. Mm-hmm. You know, we call it spiritual wanking because it doesn't, you know, it doesn't do you any good. It doesn't mean anything if you're just having ideas and yeah. Right.
Yeah. So what would be your advice to someone that's kind of, you know, kind of getting into that awareness, they want to take the next step, mm-hmm. like how, what's the one thing you would say to someone that's kind of at that verge of discovery?
Yeah, I would say that the goal of what life is about is it's about, and even in the Bible, they knew that it's not like there's nothing new under the sun. These principles, right. They're like thousands of years old, and it's know thyself, know yourself, get to know yourself, know where you like have. Okay. The first step, and that's like a cool step to work on, is like create a vision for yourself, something that you really love. Right.
Mm-hmm.
But then also the other thing is like, get to know yourself, find out about you. Right. And there's no one way. That's the cool thing. There's an unlimited amount. Would you agree with that on how to do that?
Totally. Yeah, for sure. I think it's,
but
just,
you got to do it.
It's the courage, right? Yeah, exactly. Just, you have to do it. Take out the emotions and do it, right? Yeah.
And just know, like, you know, this could be, I mean, for some people, for me, it was never like hard. For some people, it could be hard because like, look, the way when we come to this planet, right? When we're conceived, it's like we come from somewhere as this unlimited spirit. And when we land in the womb and we're this bright star and we're one with everything, we don't know that we're separate. And we come to the planet and we make our debut and we don't know that we're separate from mom and dad. But what happens is, because we can appreciate you and I and everybody else has an individual experience on this planet in a vehicle here, not just the body, but the energy, the aura, just everything. It's a vehicle. And what happens is, in the first 5 years or so, we create an individual experience. But how do we do that? We have to create some kind of separation from love, from success, from money, from belonging, you know, because we're individuals. So all of a sudden there's separation. And here's the key, like these things happen in the first 5 years. And then of course those are like impregnated, and then they come in again and again when you're 7 and 8 and 10 and 12. So it happened to you when you weren't even thinking, you know, as a kid, you don't even have a thinking mind yet, because that only develops around that age, 4, 5, 6 or whatever. And so, you know, there's no perfect parenting, and it never has, there never will be, because we have to have an individual experience. But it's about realizing that it's nobody's fault. It's just, you know, that's why you have to wake up and then stay awake and not take it personal and just find out about you. And that's how you become very, very powerful, right?
But yeah.
There's no blame.
Yeah, that's so true, right? Don't get stuck in the blame. Don't get stuck in the emotions. And just, you have to have some kind of desire, right? I think always to every day, just better than you were yesterday. Sounds so simple, right?
Yeah. But so we all have, would you agree? We all have these, I mean, somewhere deep inside of us, we all have desires. We all have unique gifts and talents, right?
Totally, totally. Yeah, yeah. And that's why I personally love coaching so much, because I, you know, and I don't know if you can speak to it too, but you just, there's something about that coach, mentor, you know, coach, athlete relationship, right? That is so, it can make or break you, right? You know that if you're just the wrong tuning can really set someone that's on the, you know, way to potential the wrong way, or the exact opposite, right? So there's that responsibility almost of, not responsibility, but it's just that when you can see something in someone and you know that everyone has it, but when they're in front of you and you're there and you're coaching, whether it's a sport or, you know, with mindset work or business coaching, like there's something so powerful about that. It's like, you just want, you want that for yourself too, right? So you give it, right? So it's just this amazing thing. That's why I love coaching. And when I was actually a gymnastics coach, I always, for some reason, I always thought of my girls that were, I had a group of girls that I coached, and no matter what level they were assessed at, I always treated them like they were going to the Olympics. Like, this is the team, you know, we're doing the ballet, we're doing this, we're getting, you know, we're strict, even though people are like, what are you doing with these girls? They're not going to hit that level. But because you treated them that way, they believed that, and they did excel way more than they probably would have. So that's like something you can take into your adult life for sure.
Really beautiful. That's really beautiful. Yeah. And yeah. You know, I think really, if I'm just thinking, if I can change somebody's life, like that Englishman has changed my life, mm-hmm. you know, it's a good day, right?
Exactly. So tell me about your work. What are you doing with your work now? I know you work with athletes. What does that all look like?
Yeah. So what I do, I do two things, right? The one is what I told you about, these limiting beliefs. And I mean, it's like mastering the human journey. And now, you know, I've come to my own conclusion that it's true for me, because this is what I live every day. This is what I practice and so on, that I'm just going to do the same thing with my athletes. Because when I'm working with my mentor, we have entrepreneurs, executives, artists, you know, like people in LA, Hollywood, and, you know, actors and all that. But I think that the principles, you know, the laws of the universe are the same, right? If we're doing sports, relationships, career, it's the same. So now I do that with the athletes as well. And I, you know, there's a spiritual component to it. Mm. And when you think about it, and you know that, right? When we're having peak performance experiences, our mind is in the now.
Mm-hmm, totally.
Right. It's present. We are relaxed, yet super focused at the same time. Our muscles are fluid and we're just here. Maybe time will go faster or slower, whatever, but we're right here.
Yeah.
And when athletes don't perform under pressure, it's because they overthink, they doubt, they worry, they get nervous, whatever it is, the mind is either in the future. Mm-hmm. Or it's in the past, but it's not in the present. And the future and the past is just a construct of the mind, because in spirituality, there's only the now. There's mm-hmm. only now, and that's the only moment that there is. And with spirituality, all we do is we just bring the mind to the present. And then when they're present, things fall in place. And as you said, you don't need to control everything, because let me tell you, if you think about in tennis, holding the wrist like this and then putting your weight there and having the eye on the ball, you're clogging your mind. And it may feel good to the ego, because you're like, oh, I'm getting control, I'm doing this.
Yeah.
But you're actually slowing yourself down, like, brutally.
Right.
Because you're not trusting your natural abilities. I can tell you, natural abilities know a million times better than you can ever figure out with your mind. So the trick is to let go and just trust in the process, like trust in your natural abilities to do it for you, but then you have no thoughts. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. That's so true. It's so true. That's great.
I mean, like, think of a baby, right? When a baby learns to walk, I mean, how old are we? Like one?
Yeah, about that. Yeah.
Like one. And there is, I mean, we don't even speak a language yet. So there's no instructions, no instructions. All we have is a mental image of the parents or the siblings, how they're walking. And we're like, fuck this. I'm slow on my knees. I want to get up. Right. So yeah. I have a mental image of what I want. And then, you know, I just try. I fail, I try, fail, correct, fail, correct, fail, correct until it's perfect. And it's actually processed really fast.
Yeah.
And one of the like secret, the secret sauce there is that there is no judgment. There's no judgment from the parents. We're not like, well, you should know it by now, right? Or like, stupid.
Yeah, exactly, right?
No judgment and no self-judgment either.
Yeah.
It's just observing, oh, okay, I fell to my right. Let me go a bit more to the left. Oh, now it's too far to the left. Let me go a bit more to the right. And you just, you practice until, but you don't judging yourself. You're not saying good. You're not saying bad. You just stay with the end result. And you observe non-judgmentally and you correct and improve and you fail and you improve and you fail and you improve.
Yeah. And that's really the key, right? Because if you're not trying, you're never failing, therefore never getting to where you want to go. Because there's that, you know, whole perfection thing that can stop you. Exactly. So getting the vision really clear, trusting in faith, like something you can't see, really noticing when the fear is taking over and getting rid of that. Watching those emotions to make sure they're actually directing you where you want them to go, taking action and just really getting self-aware and going for it, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, self-awareness. Yeah. I think that's like the fuel of even creativity, right? You can say like people that have a low level of creativity, they imitate other people. So where do they look for inspiration? Outside.
Yeah.
Steve Jobs didn't look outside.
Yeah,
exactly. Elon Musk isn't looking outside.
That's
Ronaldo
right.
isn't looking outside.
Yeah, that's actually, you know, I read that quote. I saw a few interviews, and it was, you know, people that were saying, the second that I stopped copying and I started doing my own thing, that's when everything changed, right?
Like, voila.
Key, right?
Yeah.
So that's great.
So powerful, right? So, but here's the thing: like people, a lot of people, they struggle. Oh, but I'm not good enough, maybe, or oh, but I can't do that, right? Like, well, yeah, you can. Other people did it.
What's more painful, right? To stay where you are, or to get that vision clear and move forward?
Yeah.
So
it's a choice. That's a beautiful thing. We're human beings. We have choice. You know, animals also have emotions, right? That maybe they even have thoughts. I don't know, but they surely have emotions, but they can't create like a dog and a cow. They can't create.
Mm-hmm.
They can't like really choose much. We can.
Yeah, for sure. Well, thank you so much for sharing your story. It's fascinating. I love hearing the transition and where you're at. So tell us if people want to contact you, athletes want to work with you, where's a good place to go?
Yeah, I think the webpage is the easiest place. It's just davidkarasek.com. And otherwise, if you're on social media, I'm on most platforms, I think, and it's just David Karasek, you should find me. I would love to connect. Yeah, it could be cool.
Yeah, definitely. Definitely. So what's your one biggest thing that you could offer our listeners? What is the one biggest takeaway that if someone's listening, they're excited, they want to make change, maybe they don't know what to do. What's that one thing that can start igniting that fire inside?
Great question. So what I would do is I would, in a quiet moment, maybe before you go to bed, when you're alone or whatever, close your eyes and literally just imagine what you want, you know, like, and if you don't know, well, then freaking make it up, right? Because what is creativity? We make it up. We create. It's something that doesn't exist. We got to create it. But what I can tell you with 100% certainty is that if you cannot see it in your mind, it's never gonna happen. So you and you know, your seminar was a good illustration. There's millions of stories, right? But you gotta see it in your mind. And don't worry if it's not clear in the beginning. I was visualizing a house, and in the beginning it was a black and white concrete ugly block, and I was like, what, you know, what's going on? And after 2 months I see every plant. I go upstairs, I see where's the kitchen, I see where's the oven, I see where's the couch, I see everything. And so it's like any other muscle. And as a kid, you already had it. It's just dialed down and you never needed it again. But all you have to do is be relaxed and start imagining, and then also be grateful, right? Do some gratitude exercises. Yeah. Just feel the heart and be grateful for I don't know, your husband, your wife, your kids, your, you know, that you're living, a cup of coffee, whatever it is, just be grateful. And because if you're not grateful today, you're not going to be, you know, grateful later. It's never going to happen. So I think these two things.
That's great. Yeah.
What would you tell somebody who's like, you know, in that situation? What would be your first steps?
Well, I definitely agree with getting clear on your vision for sure. Trusting your intuition, but also being really aware not to take yourself out right before you even start, or start doubting, or start, you know, listen to that voice. Cause we tend to always, you know, it's not the right time, or I don't have this, like always thinking of why you shouldn't, and really being super vigilant to listening to negative talk, right? And just getting that out of the way. And just remember, like, you're not doing this for anyone else, right? No one cares. This is, you know, a lot of people I work with have fear. You know, they don't think, they always have that fear of the outside people, or what people will think, or whether it's their family, or, you know, just showing up, whether it's online, or, you know, really stepping into that power. Like, who am I to think I can do this, or I'm not talented enough, or I don't have the right credentials, or I don't have the time. Like, you know, we just make up all these things. But who are you not to, right? That's the thing. Who are you not to do that? And if you don't even try, like, what's worse? You know, having regrets, you don't want to be there. You know, every day is precious. You don't know what's going to happen. And I think just keeping really focused on, most people are so busy worrying about themselves, they're not going to notice what you're doing. So just do it.
That's a good one.
Right?
Ooh, that's a good one.
Right?
Yeah.
Like, everyone's in their own head. So if you have something to offer the world, and you're going to rob the world of giving that talent or helping people, that's worse than being insecure, right? Because you're actually robbing the world of something it needs. And what you said, everything starts from an idea. So you just don't know, right? You just don't know where it's going to go. And there, like, I just made that connection. You have to have that faith. And I don't think anyone masters it too, right? Like, I think we can also say you can achieve certain levels of success, and you would think that the person's super confident and has got it together, and every time they show up, they're like right on. But no, it's that muscle you have to train. Even just preparing for this podcast, even though I've done it so many times, I had to go through just grounding. I'm going to speak, you know what I mean? Just getting into that space. It's not just that you show up and you know exactly what to do all the time. And I'm sure that's so clear, like, as an Olympian, all those hours of training, all that stuff, sometimes you step up on that podium or you step up to compete, all those hours, you just don't know, right? Like, you're gonna get nervous, you know, you're gonna have those thoughts. So all these things, you have to train yourself not to be there. So it doesn't matter where you are, we all have this beautiful journey, right?
Well said. So, I like it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. Thanks for listening to the New School Podcast with me, your host, Johanna Nicola. My mission is to be a guiding light for you so you can create what I call a freedom formula in your life, freedom of time, of money, and of optimal health. I want you to go beyond motivation to master your mindset, achieve your huge dreams, shatter your personal limits, and transform your life and business. Join me at Join the New School or at Johanna Nicola on social media. You can also visit jointhenewschool.com for more information about my transformational training, life coach certification program, business coaching, and more. I hope you have a great day, and we'll see you in the next episode. We'll be right back.